name is Mel.
And I'm Monica.
And welcome to I'll Bring the Bible here at New Life Church Kahana. We're actually from New Life East.
Yes.
Out in Pataskala.
Right.
But Lori Brown asked us to come and share, and we are more than happy to.
We are so excited. We are so excited about this study. It's a pink book of the Bible, ladies. And and I'm just kidding. We just are just so honored to be able to share the book of Esther. It is a book that is timeless, obviously, because it's God's word, and we are just thrilled to be here.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Oh, so Lori pretty much gave us a blank slate. She said that we could talk about whatever we wanted to, and so we really, after much talk, we decided that what we really wanted to bring out was just seeing the gospel in Esther. Yep. But first, we want to give you a little bit of background on the book. We can tell you that it is part of the Medo-Persian Empire.
Wait a second. That doesn't mean nothing to me. So you didn't have to tell me what Medo-Persian means.
I love the history part. You know I love the history part. So basically, we know that there was the Babylonian Empire, and it was a time when God's people, the Jews, were brought into exile. King Nebuchadnezzar was the king at the time, and God's people were exiled into Babylon.
Around the time of the book of Daniel.
Okay. And so then we see that exile was 70 years. We see that Babylon actually fell to like the Medes, and it became like the Medo-Persian Empire. We have King Darius that was also seen in the book of Daniel. And King Darius is the king Xerxes, which, does your Bible say Xerxes or
Ahasuerus?
Yeah, so because it's easier, we're going to refer to him as
Xerxes.
King. We're going to say Xerxes.
I like that better anyway.
It's a cooler name.
Yeah, it is.
It flows off the tongue a little bit better. But anyway, so what we have now is the Jews have been freed from their exile. Mm-hmm. And now we have this massive Persian empire. So straight off of the beginning of the book of Esther, they said that it's huge. It's 126 provinces.
Wow.
So we also know that even though the Jews were allowed to go back to Jerusalem, Jerusalem is still under that Persian Empire. Mm-hmm. So basically, this is the king at this time was the leader of the world.
Wow. You know how when people say like, oh, I wish I used to live in the 50s because that's like the most...
Poodle skirts.
That seems like the most awesome time. Yeah, and it just... you know, seems like a fun time to live in. Like, would you like to say, oh, I wish I lived in the Medo-Persian Empire time?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, you know, the book opens with this lavish banquet.
Uh-huh.
And it went on for 180 days.
I could eat for 180 days.
But I think there was also a lot of nonsense going on. There was a lot of drinking. Can you imagine? I just can't even imagine a banquet, a party. What's everybody doing? Like, and this wasn't, they weren't celebrating anything in particular other than this king that was just really celebrating himself and he was showing off. But we see the details of how magnificent this place was. And it takes place in Susa, which is one of the capitals of the Persian Empire and where the king was residing at the time. And we see all of this lavish and wealth and power that this king has, but there's also a lot of darkness, a lot of depravity, a lot of using other people to meet the desires of the king.
Using women.
Also using men. There's a lot of talk of eunuchs.
Right.
And so we see that there's a lot of men and women that didn't really have a lot of options.
So we probably would not want to live during that time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they also didn't have Uber Eats. So
they didn't have air conditioning.
AC. They had to bring in their own water, probably. Mm-hmm. So probably not.
Indoor plumbing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of those things we take for granted.
I think I'd rather live in the 50s then.
Mm-hmm. I would rather live in the 80s.
80s.
It's great music.
Okay.
I can see that.
So this, the book of Esther is really interesting because it doesn't mention God's name. It doesn't mention Jesus. But as Monica and I were reading it and studying it, going through it, we recognized Jesus right away in the books. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to talk to you about today. And we hope that after this session, you will leave and you will be ready to get in there and dig into Esther, and that you will see Jesus throughout this whole book.
Right. We see a lot of foreshadowings. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean that it's that Jesus is the same as. It's just really represents how desperate we need a Savior, and it's a longing toward Him. Because
right.
this is the Old Testament, so this is several years before Jesus was born.
Right. So we have like four things that we came up with. Just
four.
There's more than four.
There's more than four, but we thought four was a decent number.
Right. So yeah, we're going to talk about them a little bit.
We've entitled them.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. We're very fancy here at Albany
Bible.
We are
very fancy, yes. So the first one that I thought we could talk about is the gospel of the kingdom in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, wouldn't you say that the most famous passage is found in Esther 4?
Yep, I would.
Esther 4, 13 through 17, and I'm just going to read it. That way you'll just know exactly what it says.
Okay.
Especially as we are starting off this study, you're going to probably refer to this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So Esther 4, 13 through 17, and I'm reading in the ESV. So then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will all fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. So this passage falls after there has been the king, Esther's husband, the king had made a decree that all of the Jews throughout Persia could be destroyed.
Yeah.
And all of their riches could be stolen from them and brought into the treasury of Persia. And so we see Mordecai, who the scripture tells us he was a Jew living in Persia. He was one of the Jews that was in captivity mm-hmm. in Babylon. But we see that he obviously did not go back to Jerusalem when he could have. He chose to stay here in Susa for whatever reason, and it
right.
doesn't really say. We also know that Mordecai adopted Esther. Esther was, her parents both died.
Mm-hmm.
Mordecai was her cousin, and he adopted her and raised her as his daughter. So here we have Esther, that is the king's fairly new queen, and she really doesn't know what's going on. There had been this decree, and Mordecai had torn his clothes and put ashes on his head, which was what they did back then when they were in mourning. He was devastated.
Before. Sackcloth and ashes,
mm-hmm.
Nineveh.
Right. And so she basically, she sees that he's distraught.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of really saying what is going on or even understanding what's going on, you would think being in the center of the capital that she would know. All she did was say, "Here, give him some clothes." And he was like, no.
Was she embarrassed? Maybe she's like, "Dad."
Maybe she was like, "You are so embarrassing.
Put on some clothes."
Or she was just heartbroken. She didn't know what was really going
yeah.
on, but the thing that she thought she could do for him was give him some clothes.
Maybe she felt like he didn't have any.
I don't know what it was.
I don't know. But
I think that she was trying to care for him the best
yep.
the way that she knew how at the time.
Yep.
And he was like, no.
Nope.
And that's when he...
Not going to do it.
And that's when he told them to tell her that very thing. So we also see here that Galatians 3:8 tells us that the promises to Abraham
mm-hmm.
are the gospel preached in advance. So actually what Mordecai is doing here when he says For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. He is actually sharing the gospel with her in advance. He knows the promises of God. Because he's a Jew, he knew that the seed of Abraham was going to be what was the savior of the people, and that hadn't come yet. So he knew without a doubt that deliverance was going to come. And so at that point, something changed in Esther.
Yep.
She went from this girl that was oblivious to what was going on, living her life as a Persian. And because the king, because Mordecai told her to hold her, to hide her ethnicity from the king, she was just living as a Persian woman.
Yeah, we all need people like that in our lives, right? That remind us of the word of God and reminds us of the promises of God and kind of shakes us and says, hey, get with it.
Well, you know. And I think that we are asked to do hard things as believers. And so it is important that we are reminded of the sovereignty of God and the promises that he has made, and that his promises do not go unanswered. And so at that point, basically she hears the gospel, if you will, and she's reminded of God's faithfulness. She's reminded of the promises of God, and there's a switch. You know, she says, okay, I need you to pray. I'm going to pray and fast for 3 days. I need all of my fellow Jews to do the same. She knew that, you know, corporate worship and prayer was very, very vital, just like it is today. And then she said, and I will go before the king, even though it's against the law. She knew that there was a chance that the king would reject her. And she thought that there was a good chance of it because he had not called for her in 30 days.
Right.
Can you imagine when your worth is really just wrapped up in what your husband thinks of you and he hasn't called for you in a month? You're kind of wondering where you stand at that point.
Right.
And so she was given an assignment and she chose to be obedient. She chose to trust the Lord. She chose to pray, and she said, I will go before the king, and if I die, I die.
And that actually segues very nicely into our next foreshadowing, which is the justification of the king. So just like Esther became justified before the king by him pointing his scepter to her, so Jesus has made us justified to come before God by his completed work on the cross. Now, just imagine with us for a minute what it must have been like to prepare to go before the king with the thought of knowing that you could be accepted or sentenced to death. I mean, I would have been
like, I'm going to look pretty. Yep. I need to really look pretty.
It says that she picked out her royal robes, and I'm guessing she made herself look as appealing as possible.
Well, you have to figure that she had fasted for 3 days and three nights, and so she really had to hide that.
Yep, I can imagine her, as the robes are being put on her, rehearsing everything that she's going to say because it had to be perfect.
Right.
And, you know, it says she went into the king's inner court and she waited. She waited for the king to notice her. And then he finally did. And it was probably like a very intense moment. I mean, I could feel like the intensity of like, what is he going to do as she awaited his decision? And the Bible says that she found favor in his sight and he held out his scepter to her. To all the court, all the people that were in there, he justified her presence.
Right.
And not only that, but he asked her, what's your request? Because whatever you ask, I'm going to give to you up to half the kingdom.
Right.
So, hey, she's got it going on.
And we just have to, we have to stop here, though, and be reminded that it was God who softened his heart. You know, he hadn't really given a whole lot of thought to his wife a month before this.
That's true. I mean, he didn't even call
And so
her.
He sees her, he welcomes her, and then he shows her favor.
Right.
And we have to see God's hand in all of this.
Yeah. And, you know, as I read this, it became more and more apparent to us that this is a picture of Jesus coming before God on our behalf, mm-hmm. and of him being justified to do so because he was blameless and sinless. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was willing to die for us, just as Esther was willing to die for her people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, of course, Jesus' sacrifice was more important and pure.
Right.
But we can't help but see Jesus in this and through this and all the foreshadowing. It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 23 through Romans chapter 5, verse 2, the words, "it was credited to him," were not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, which we now stand. Because of the sacrifice of his sacrifice, Jesus justifies us, and we're able to have access to God through him. And we'd like to leave you with this thought from an article that we read that it says, "In the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we can approach God boldly." Isn't that awesome? Amen. We can pray to God. We have the right to be there. He has justified us.
You know, and we see that throughout the Old Testament. We see foreshadowings of this and how important it is. You know, we see how the high priest had to purify himself perfectly to go into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God.
We've talked about this,
you know, a couple of months ago.
If he wasn't perfect, he was dead. And they had to pull his body with a rope.
Right, and that's what Esther was. You know, she wasn't seen as perfect and wanted by the king. She was dead. But we don't have to feel that way because we have Christ who paid that ultimate sacrifice. Yeah. And now we have access to God through him.
On a more practical note, as a woman, I'm really glad that that's not a thing.
Oh my goodness. I'm really glad that's not a thing.
Like if we didn't find favor in our husband's sight, you know, like.
Right. Right.
Awkward.
It would definitely, I can't even really imagine.
Yeah. As a woman, you know, from a woman's perspective.
But, right.
Yeah. We digress. But anyway.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Moving on. Another thing that really stuck out to me is the story that goes on between Mordecai and Haman. You know, we've already talked a little bit about Mordecai, and he was a Jew. He was a righteous man. He had at one point found out about guards, the king's eunuchs that were at one point going to, they were plotting the king's death.
And for anybody who doesn't know, eunuchs are not men.
They
anymore.
Well, yes, they, something has happened surgically to make them less manly.
Yeah, and that's why they call them eunuchs.
Right.
So.
So they could not have families of their own. They were indebted to the king.
I mean, personally, I would, that would be humiliating and devastating. But did they choose to be that way?
I don't know. I don't know. I wonder if they really had much.
Or maybe they were enslaved. Or
right. Well, and you think of all of the women that were brought before the king individually. When Esther was chosen as queen, it was all of the virgins throughout the land were brought in to this harem. And at that point, they lost their ability to have a family on their own.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm glad that that's not happening right now and that we're not under that kind of rule.
Well, at least it's not happening to us.
Right.
But we see, you know, human trafficking happening today very much as we just... Yesterday was the annual, like, End It movement.
Yes.
Shine a light on human trafficking and slavery today. So, you know, I can't help but think of that back then. You know, I've heard people say that it was a great opportunity for Esther to be called into this harem and to go before the king. But that became her whole life. She didn't have any options after that.
Right. No options. What would you do? And that's... It's, you know, Esther's such an awesome book of the Bible, and it's a great story, but it's also shocking.
It is. It's very shocking. So, but we digress.
Yes.
Back to Haman and Mordecai. So Mordecai, at some point, had heard that a couple of the king's eunuchs were going to plot to kill him, and mm-hmm. he went before he let the king know. And so the king had kind of forgotten about that with Mordecai. And then we see Haman, who was the king's right-hand man,
mm-hmm.
he hated Mordecai. He hated the Jews. And we will see, as you do your study, we will see that Haman was an Agagite. And that means he was a descendant of King Ahag.
Agag. Try to say that three times fast. Agag. You can't.
You just have to say it with authority.
Yeah,
like I did, and I got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mordecai was a Benjamite, and he was a descendant in the family line of King Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Well, King Agag and King Saul were enemies.
Huh.
And so people didn't go to, you know, they didn't really go to Ancestry.com to figure out where they were from. You know, they knew their family lines.
So that's why there was this
tension.
Okay.
And Haman felt that Mordecai needed to bow to him. Now, Mordecai was more than willing to bow to the king,
mm-hmm.
but he was not going to bow to Haman. And it really angered Haman to the point where he went to the king, and that's when he said, hey, how about we kill all the Jews, and we will, they're against you. And we will take all of their things as bounty for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mordecai, being a righteous man, now all of a sudden was facing death. Haman was so excited that the king had agreed to do this, and he thought that the king was going to elevate him, that he built gallows to have Mordecai hanged on.
That takes a lot of nerve.
Right.
It really
well,
does.
Haman's wife was behind it. She was like, hey, I got an idea.
I know. A woman.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Very sneaky.
Very, very sneaky. And what I've seen here is that none of these men could make a decision on their own mm-hmm. in this whole kingdom. But anyway, so he had these gallows erected. He was going to have Mordecai hanged. And then the king has trouble sleeping, and he calls for the Book of Memorable Deeds.
I need one of those.
Because you can't remember anything, or because you have lots of memorable things?
It sounds really cool, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, bring me my Book of Memorable
Deeds.
It's
like watching a story about yourself,
right.
Like
yeah.
a movie.
Read to me my memorable deeds.
Yeah, because you know he didn't read it
I
on
guess
his own.
A journal, but... It's not mm-hmm. the same. I mean,
well, this was a pretty important book.
Okay.
And in it, it reminds him of Mordecai saving his life.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, we know he didn't personally journal that. He had historians,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Right. Right. So Haman had given the king all these great ideas of what he should do to elevate this man of honor, thinking it was himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the king is going to honor Mordecai. And then he ends up hanging Haman on the very gallows that was set up for Mordecai. So we see Mordecai, being a righteous man that was gone pretty much unknown, about to die. We see him being transfigured, so to speak, in a day of glory.
Wow.
Because the king puts on his robes. Gives him his robes, gives him his signet ring, gives him a parade. He's parading around on the king's horse. It is Mordecai's day. And Haman is hanged on the very gallows that was meant for Mordecai. And then later we see that Mordecai becomes the king's right-hand man.
So that's our foreshadowing.
And then we think, that sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
We have Jesus, who was a righteous man, unknown to mm-hmm. many, unknown to his own people. You know, we know that his brothers didn't even know that he was the Son of God until after he died.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a transfiguration, so to speak. And then later we see him at the right hand of the Father.
Wow.
So Jesus here is the better and greater Mordecai.
Yes, he is.
But it just shows us a little glimpse, a little glimpse of
Jesus
glory.
Is the better and greater Esther.
Jesus is the better and greater Esther.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
The last foreshadowing that we see is, and we're going to talk about, is called the mastery of the king. Esther 9:1 says, "Now in the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, in the 13th day of the same, when the king's command and edict were about to be carried out, on the very day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain mastery over them, the reverse occurred. The Jews gained mastery over those who hated them." I love that verse. The Jews gained mastery over those who hated him. You see, the king couldn't wipe out his first command, his first edict, that anyone could kill the Jews on that day. He couldn't get rid of it. Once the king declared it and sealed it, it could not be undone. So what he had to do was he had to actually put another decree in place so that the Jews could actually defend themselves. And defend themselves, they did. And they won.
Right. Right.
And this verse says that the Jews gained mastery over their enemies. And I kind of thought it was really cool because we see it as a foreshadow of Jesus, our king, having mastery over mm-hmm. death on the cross.
Right.
And Satan tried to destroy him, but he couldn't be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 2:14-15 says, "Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as human beings could he die, and only by dying mm-hmm. could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Mm-hmm. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying." And because Jesus had mastery over sin and death, mm-hmm. only by his sacrifice,
right.
can we too have that mastery over sin. We're no longer slaves to the
right.
fear of death and the punishment that we deserve.
Right.
We deserve it. But we're not slaves to it any
right.
longer. We've been saved. We've been redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only Jesus Christ that's made that possible for us in his mastery. So I thought that was really cool to see
mm-hmm.
that. The Jews gain mastery over their
right.
enemies and see Jesus gain mastery.
And, you know, you can look at this
uh-huh.
and you can say, wow, this is a lot of violence. This is a lot of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And you can quickly come to a lot of conclusions and make a lot of judgments on it. But it is a serious offense to be an enemy of God.
Right. And you will. You are going to read one
mm-hmm.
of the... We don't really study out like the end of Esther. We talk about the
right.
that one big story, but the end of it, it's pretty violent.
It is very violent.
Uh huh.
I think that it's a picture of what it means to be an enemy of God.
Uh huh.
And I think it's a picture of our depravity as
mm-hmm.
humans. And I think that it's a picture of how desperately we need a savior. Another thing that this kind of really reminded me of was that, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, we call that the fall of man.
Mm-hmm.
Sin entered into the world and it entered into all of us. And that was, you know, a decree, basically,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, that death, you know, that there would be death, that there would be destruction, and that we would be kind of handed over to our own self. And we think, why does God let that happen?
Mm-hmm.
But he made a new decree. It had to be a new decree, something that could undo that.
Mm-hmm.
And his new decree was sending his son to
yes.
die for us.
Yes. I'm just picturing my head, hear ye, hear
right.
ye, here is the decree. And it's a joyful decree, isn't it?
Right.
That
right.
he has conquered. He has conquered sin. Ephesians 2:4-7 says, "But God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ
mm-hmm.
from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus."
Amen.
So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Ladies, God has given us this great story of Esther, not to show us how brave and sacrificial and how powerful she was, but how amazing his son Jesus Christ is. Mm-hmm. And it's a picture of how much God loves his people and he wants to save them.
That's right.
You want to pray for us?
Yeah. Okay. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for revealing your truths to us. Lord, we know that we are in our own Persia right now, as there's sin all around us. And we can get so defeated. We feel so defeated by the sin and depravity that we see and we experience in our own lives, all the loss, all of the anger and the hate. But Lord, we know that your son came here to pay the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, and that through him, we have eternal life with you. Lord, we pray over this study. We pray over the women that will come to know you better through it. And we just ask that you bless them. And we thank you for honoring. And thank you for giving us your word. And we honor you for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us for I'll Bring the Bible New Life Gehenna and East Edition.
Right.
And Whitehall. And if you want to check us out on I'll Bring the Bible, we're actually a podcast.
Yeah.
And we love doing that. And we have some awesome podcasts for you to listen to. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Instagram and on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And we're in
wherever you like to listen to wherever your podcasts.
You like, yeah. We're in, you know. Apple Podcasts.
We should know what it's called. Apple Podcasts. It's the little purple icon. If you don't listen on your iPhone, there's Spotify.
Yep, Stitcher. You can also look for us on our website, which we haven't officially launched yet, but it's
so
really
don't go
easy.
There right now. But it's coming soon.
No, you can go there. They can go there. Yeah,
I haven't gone.
I'll bring the Bible.com. You need to go there.
I definitely need to go there.
Bye.
Bye.